What's up, guys? Over here with Alex Getlin.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having me, dude.
We're about to do this. Let's go.
Public Yemeni number one.
Dope.
I found it. Yeah.
I don't know if you had it like custom produced for your show.
No, man, but I found it.
Is it licensed or you just took it?
Oh, no. It's like, one of those like royalty free.
Yeah,
fair use. You could just buy it.
Nice. Okay.
I just did like a long day of searching for music, and I specifically wanted to find something that had Arabic drums.
Yeah.
So
that
I think I was searching Arab drums, hip hop, because I mean, I love hip hop.
Sure.
I'm Arab.
Yeah.
What's something that kind of sounds like, you know, kind of hard hitting or whatever.
Yeah.
And I kind of like that one because it's got the little drums.
Yeah, it was dope, dude. Do you still, so you're from Yemen, like your family is ethnically from Yemen. Do you still have family there?
Yeah. You know, the family that are in Yemen, I don't really know that well.
Yeah.
I have family in Indonesia that I know.
Interesting.
Well.
Yeah.
So my family are Yemenis, but a lot of them live in Indonesia.
I don't know a ton about Yemen. But I listened to a number of podcasters who were like very on the anti-war, anti-big government kick. And they talk a lot about how fucked that country is because us and the U.S. and the Saudis have just been like attacking the shit out of
in Iran.
I guess. I don't know.
It's a tug of war. So basically it's a battle of religion. So
like
you
Shiite
have,
Sunni or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
At the core of it. So like the majority of Yemen, the majority of the Muslim world is Sunni.
Mm-hmm.
The minority is Shia.
And that's mostly Iran, right?
Mostly Iran, Lebanon, you know, that area that's close to Israel, like all those Arab states, Iraq. One of the main reasons in Iraq is because, you know, it's Sunni and Shia. That's one of the main reasons why they fucking hate each other.
I took a class in college on like intro to Islam and I learned like,
don't go there.
it wasn't quite that, but
don't go to Islam, guys. It was a place.
Yeah. It was basically like after Muhammad passed, there was a fight over who was, cause he didn't have any sons, I guess. He only had daughters.
Yes.
So then it was a fight over like, is it going to be the husband of his eldest daughter or like his lead disciple? And then one of them like decapitated the other guy.
I don't know about all those details, but you're right. You nailed it.
Dude, I know more than you do, bro.
No, you don't. I'm just fucking told you. I don't know about the decapitating thing because fuck that type of information. I don't even know that.
And then from there, it all like it continued on and there's never been.
You know, that's why I always say that's the thing that I can't stand about religion is like, you know, it's Christianity was almost in the same way in terms of like the religion gets created, right? And then nobody actually really started writing the lessons down 100 years after they stopped killing each other.
Yeah.
Christianity did the same thing, right?
After
Jesus' death, it was just nothing but war, and then all of a sudden they were like, we should probably like make a book. You know what I mean?
So, of course, dude.
And that's exactly what happened in Islam. So the Prophet Muhammad created the Quran, which is miraculous. Did you know the Quran rhymes?
I did not.
Front to back.
Really?
That's the beautiful thing about it.
How has no one made a dope album just rapping?
That's what I'm saying.
It be disrespectful? I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't know.
I think if it's done in a way, like, you know.
Have you read it?
Yeah. I grew up Muslim.
Okay.
So I was forced to, you know, learn that shit. So like, for example.
When you say the
prayer that is the first prayer in the Quran is called the Fetha.
Okay.
Everyone knows the Fetha.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's written in ancient Aramaic.
Yeah.
Right. But it rhymes.
Mm.
So it's like this. This is the rhyme. This is the prayer. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Maliki yawm ad-din. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in.
Wait.
Ihdinas siratal mustaqim. Siratal, and it just keeps going.
I dig it. Play almost, that beat again and do that over the beat.
Oh shit.
Do it. It'd be sick.
You want to do a trash bars right now?
Hell yeah.
Okay. So you got to lay the beat.
Oh no, I was going to have you want me to beatbox it.
Yeah.
We'll
just do a trash bars.
Okay. All right. Right, ready.
We'll just No, hold on. I got to set a timer. This is how it works because we work on the delay.
Okay.
Guys, we're doing the trash bars early.
Okay.
We're doing a trash bar segment early, baby. Okay.
Right.
So first, before I do that, what I got to do is I have to. I
was thinking your intro music, but I'll beatbox it.
What's that?
I was thinking like you'd play that intro track and then you say it over that, but I'll just do like a beatbox and then
Give me a second.
Yeah, yeah,
second.
Do your thing.
What I got to do is I have to first.
So for those listening, so Mike's setting it up. So I'm going to drop a beatbox. He's going to rap the feta. Is that what it's called?
The feta.
The feta from the Quran.
Yeah.
All right. And what does that prayer say, essentially? Or I'll let you get set up. So I'm going to learn a lot. We're
God
learning
damn
today.
Damn it. I can't do it because I'm on that other screen, so I got to double the screen now.
Yeah. Do whatever you got to do, man.
Fuck.
Tech, you know, listen, in my podcast, we do the same thing.
Guys, we have technical difficulties. No. There's a tradition on my podcast.
Oh, okay.
That we have to have a technical difficulty.
Well, here we go. We did it early.
And if it doesn't happen, then
yeah,
we justify something.
Oh, but I can stay until 3:30 and then I have to go. I should have said that at the top. I don't know if you have a hard out.
No.
So that's an hour and a half. So
that's fine. Yeah, that's yeah, fine. Yeah.
I'm just saying it so I don't forget.
Yeah. Okay. Real quick though. I got to do this fucking thing. That's right. I got to do this stupid thing.
Anyway, guys, if you want to follow me, I'm at Alex Getlin, Gettlin.
Your name is on the screen.
On Twitter and Instagram. You can watch my show, Highly Unlikely. I just figured, you know, I'll get the plugs out now while we're, you know. I also have a weekly live podcast kind of like this called Common Ground Morning Show. It's every Monday live, 10 a.m. Pacific with my wife, Rachel LaForce. She may or may not be watching this show right now. I'm taking care of our son. We have a three and a half month old.
Boo.
Mike is pro abstinence for fatherhood.
Yeah, no, I'm not pro abstinence, but sex.
Yeah, you're pro sex. Would you?
I like to make kids. I just leave the last step out.
Well, let me ask you this. So do you definitely not want kids, or you're not sure yet?
I think it's game over now. All right, so I got the other feed going.
Okay.
It's a 15-second delay.
Right.
Okay. And it being a 15-second delay, I'm going to have to, I'm going to give you 15 seconds to drop a beat.
Okay.
And then after you drop the beat, I'm going to turn the audio on here and then I'm going to try to rap the fetha over the beat.
Nice.
And then we're all going to get assassinated by ISIS. Let's go. All right. Are you ready?
Yep.
And.
All right, let's see how this goes.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Maliki yawmiddin, Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in, ihdina siratal mustaqim. Siratal mustaqim, and I don't know the rest. I can't do it this fucking fast. All I know is I just ran out of gas.
All right, that was good.
Too bad the delay is only 15 seconds.
Yeah.
You know? So, but yeah, that's it, guys. We're going to get assassinated now.
I got to say.
But we were talking about the Quran, though. Yeah, so the Prophet Muhammad definitely, like, after a while, when he died, he left this beautiful work of art for everyone to
enjoy,
to try to learn from.
Yeah.
And then when he died, you're right, the people were like, okay, so who's our leader?
Mm-hmm.
Is it the caliphate that we all elected
right.
to be the leader? And then the Shias were like, nah, we think it's the guy who's fucking his daughter.
Yeah.
And then they were
what
just
a crock
like
of shit. Yeah.
And they were just like, fuck you. And then they killed each other for literally 100 years, just mm-hmm. like in Christianity, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And then when the dust settled,
yeah.
they go, this Quran is confusing.
Oh, really?
We don't understand it.
Okay.
It rhymes. It's beautiful. It's trying to teach us a lesson. But what is it really saying?
Interesting.
So then that's when they wrote the Hadith. Hadith is basically the cliff notes.
Interesting.
Of the Quran.
Yeah.
And this is where I lose it. This is where I lose religion, man, because to me it's just like in the Hadith is where you have a lot of the dumb shit.
Mm-hmm.
Women have to cover up.
Yeah.
All this, you know.
You know, Mike.
And the reason why women have to cover up, it was all because they
dudes are horny.
No. Because after 100 years they were like, so how do we live like Muhammad? We don't know anything about him. So then what they did was is that they talked to people who knew people who were alive at the time that Muhammad was, and those people would spin stories and be like, well, he liked his women to cover up.
So it would be like now if we went to people's like great grandparents and it was like, all right, you're about to kick it, but like before you go, what was life like in the 20s? We're trying to reenact that shit.
Yeah. Oh, that's a very, very interesting way of doing it. Yeah. But not only that, we're going to make up shit.
Mm.
So like, for example, this is why I'm saying I can't stand religion. So I grew up in a religion where like, I remember we would go to the mosque and the women would have to pray behind us, the men.
Yeah.
The men would pray up in the front and the women would have to go in the back. Or sometimes it's some buildings, the women would have to go in the basement.
Right.
Right. Wow. So they would separate the men and the women. Right. Now, I understand like they don't want to do that because of sex and all kinds of stuff like that. But as a kid, you know what I was told? My dad told me.
Yeah.
He's like, the reason why the women are behind us is because the men, it's a symbolism of how we are there to protect them.
Sure, right.
We will put ourselves in front of God first.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. You know, and it was a noble thing.
Yeah.
It's my dad's way of trying to teach me, hey, you got to take care of your sister, you know what I'm saying? We have strength and whatever, just that and the other thing, right? Then I find out later, just like how we thought Christopher Columbus was great, and then you find out later he's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Right? You find out later what it really was.
Yeah.
You know why the women are in the back? Because the Prophet Muhammad felt bad about women bending over and exposing their butts in front of men.
When their dresses weren't long enough?
No, but my point is that the idea is like, what woman is going to feel comfortable bending over in prayer when another man is behind her? So how simple is that, right?
Sure.
It's so simple. That's the real answer is, oh, no, men are creeps.
Yeah, of course.
And to make the women feel better, we put them in the fucking back. But then what happens? Some guy along the way goes, that's because we're better than them.
Right.
We got to protect the women.
Of course. Dude, that's so funny, man. You know, as you're saying that, I realize, like, traditional, like the practice of Islam, there's probably a lot of similarities with Judaism. That's like what I'm familiar with. And it's like Orthodox Jews do the same shit. Women are totally separated. And the same thing. So the original text is called the Torah. And then there's this follow up called the Talmud. And that's all like the rabbis are like, well, this is what they meant. And this is all.
I always thought that was the same.
Mm-mm, it's different. It was written much later. And there's like other iterations that come.
So the Torah is basically the Old Testament.
Correct.
Got it.
Yeah.
And the Talmud is?
Like the laws, like the rules, you know? And so it's the rabbi's interpretation of the Torah.
So it's like the Hadith. Yeah.
Exactly. Same thing. And it's like, not exact same, but very similar, where it's like, this is why we don't eat pork. This is why.
Yeah, that's exactly what the Hadith is. Yeah.
Yep. And it's like, this is why women have to be separated from us. This is why you can't have sex before you're married. This is why, you know, and still we're killing each other for what?
Rachel says, as your wife, Alex, I forgot how good you are at beatboxing.
Hey, look at that. There you go. I'm going to teach our son how to beatbox. Now, she's going to hate that. He's going to be too like, Daddy taught me a trick. And then, you know.
She said, well, it's a good way to go out. She's talking about something else. Oh, she's talking about, I think that was her comment. Oh. It's a good way to go out, I suppose, about the fact that we're going to get assassinated.
Oh, yeah. Hey, why not? Dude, I got to be honest, and I understand that. She goes,
another reminder why women are second.
Everybody follow Rachel LaForce on Instagram. I kind of think the ISIS stuff is overblown at this point. Not if you live where they are, I get it, but for Americans to still talk about it, like, dude, come on. China is a way bigger threat to so is Russia. Like, there are other threats. Our own military industrial complex, that's a way bigger threat.
Our military industrial complex is probably the biggest fucking threat, bro.
Right, so like,
fuck China.
But I'm saying is like, dudes in the
military industry is a threat to our healthcare.
Yeah.
All the homeless people in fucking LA, we could all buy them homes. I'd be happy to do that.
Let me ask you this.
Instead of blowing up my family in Yemen, bro,
100,
who I haven't met yet.
100. You're a veteran. You were in the Marines. American Marines, not ISIS Marines.
Yeah, that's a joke.
Yeah.
United States Marines?
Or ISIS
Marines. No, bitch, ISIS Marines.
Dude, I remember one of the most ignorant things I've ever heard somebody say. This was like back when I was in college, I think, and somebody was like, somebody legitimately said they didn't think you could be in the U.S. military if you were Muslim. They really believed that. They were like, I don't think you're allowed to be in the military if you're a Muslim. I was like, what are you talking about?
You know what, though? Can I be actually honest?
Please.
Sometimes I can be dumb racist like that, too.
Yeah,
I don't think it comes from a bad place. I think it comes from a very ignorant, programmed, you know, like I almost like when I meet someone that says that, I'm still open to gauge if they're a good person or not, because sometimes they're just
fair.
They're just not.
They don't know better.
Yeah.
You're not jumping to cancel them.
Yeah.
But you're an adult, dude. You've lived life. You understand that like people are nuanced.
Yeah. Because yeah. I've done dumb shit like that. You know the recent one I've done?
Mm-mm, tell me.
Bro.
Yeah.
I feel so dumb about this.
Okay.
You know Dante Chang?
Yes.
Hilarious Korean comic.
Yep.
Guys, follow Dante Chang. Fucking hilarious comic. He's got this bit, this closer, and I'm not giving anything away because he is, when he does it, he talks about how he's Korean and how that the Japanese enslaved the Koreans.
Yep. Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then he goes, I think the idea is like back in the day when they tried to like come up on you to find out if you're Korean to enslave you and stuff, he goes, I would just act like I was Japanese.
Okay.
You know?
And then he goes,
"Hai sugeda." And he'd be like, and he would just do this whole fucking bit, and it was so funny.
Yeah.
And I remember after that fucking bit, me and him were having a drink, and I was like, and this is how dumb racist. It's almost on the same plane as this guy with the Islam and military thing. I was like, is it really hard to tell the difference between Japanese and Korean? And he looks at me, he goes, well, yeah, bro. And then I'm like, really? I go, there's like no way that you guys can tell. And he's like, can you tell the difference between a Yemeni and a Lebanese or like another Arab guy?
Right.
And then I thought about it and I go, some Puerto Ricans look Yemeni. And he goes, exactly. I was like, oh my God, how dumb.
Right.
That's something I should have known.
Yeah, he's like, I'm from Ecuador, bro.
And but when it comes to like Asians,
for sure.
In my mindset, they all know each other. They all know. You know what I mean?
Right. Of course, man.
So am I racist or am I just...
No, but I get it. I mean...
Just that was something that I didn't really put much thought into.
That's
so
funny. Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't... I can't tell where anybody's from. I don't even ask anymore, like, where are you from? Because people... Like, sometimes I'm legitimately curious. Like, I'm just, like, wondering, like, oh, you... Like, I'd be interested, like, what's your, like, ethnic culture? But even that, people are like, why are you at... What do you mean by that?
It's
like,
Yeah.
You know, it's all good, dude.
Well, because you're white.
Yeah.
And that's hard, bro.
I know. It's hard. Or, no, it's not hard. I won't say it's hard being
white.
I'm
going to say it's hard. No, I'm not saying it's hard. I'm saying it's hard for you to ask questions like that or talk and say certain things without people instantly coming off as like, whoa,
yeah,
are you being racist right now? You know what I mean? Don't you feel that?
Kind of, but I think at this point, I still believe in common sense for most people, and I think if people are like, I think I can pretty much usually tell when someone's trying to have their moment, be like, what do you mean by that? Or if they're clearly being an idiot, I'll just be like, stare at them like, I don't understand. Can you? And I'll let them go. And the more they talk, the dumber they look.
That's a business move.
Mm-hmm. It's a power move.
It's a business move just to just keep quiet and have them fucking keep talking.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, hey, man. The thing is, you know what we've really crossed the threshold about? We've made curiosity and like safe, like harmless ignorance into racism. Because I'm like legitimately curious about all kinds of things, I won't even ask sometimes because
that's my point.
Yeah,
that's my point.
But
you won't even ask sometimes because
it's too dangerous.
It's fuck. That makes me so mad that you said that.
Well,
do you know how mad that makes me, bro?
Sorry, dude.
No, I know that.
That's the world we're in.
No, I know that.
Yeah,
That's why I have one of my favorite closers is about how everything white people do makes them racist. It's one of my favorite closers, and then I could do it from a place of, hey, guys, I've been there, too.
You know what I mean?
Welcome to the club type shit. But that's the thing that pisses me off. I can't stand this. Listen, man, after 9/11, I thought Arabs were the ones that was the last race to get it.
Right.
Like, in my mind, I was like, that's it, aliens.
Mm-hmm.
But no, instead, they brought it back to white people, and then now aliens. It's like, what the fuck?
There you go, dude.
Why?
I think, well, to me, I believe all of this always, always, always goes back to the people at the top of the power pyramid pitting everybody else against each other so they keep... I mean, this is just what... It's in the animal kingdom. I mean, I know animals aren't that smart yet, but weaker animals make alliances with each other. I mean, if you look at a pride of lions, males will align with each other to take out the strongest alpha male. Now, once he's gone, they'll turn on each other. But they will, the weaker males will, same, they do it in chimps, do it in everything. Humans do that. And that's what fucking pisses me off about, the only thing that I really have no patience for is people who believe that, like, well, if we all just, like, shared everything, there wouldn't be these problems. Like, they don't, they think that the answer to like corrupt capitalism is to just like
disperse money.
Yeah. And it's like, that, oh, that's worked before. Yeah, mm-hmm. Sure. But yeah, I think, listen, I'm the last person who's going to say, oh, it's a war against white men. We're doing fine. But I do think that now, understandably, you know, people are like, you guys have had a good enough run. Take a back seat. And I'm not even saying it's not fair. I get it. Like, it's, you know, I understand, especially with like media and executive boards and stuff. Yeah, like we should have a more diverse lineup. But you can't be that surprised when like regular ass mediocre dudes take it personally, because like they don't even
take what personally,
like the idea that like get the white man out of here. Because if you're listen, if you're successful, then you're like, well, I had a pretty good run. I'm OK. You know, you're right. Let's mix things up and make it fair. But if you feel like you couldn't even hit success with like all of your privileges, whether you believe that they're real or not, I believe that they are in many cases, not always, but most of the time. And then you're hearing like, white men have everything and it's time for you to get the fuck out of here. And if you're just like some regular ass dude with like a shitty truck and a shitty job and a shitty marriage and a mortgage you're underwater,
you're like,
with.
Fuck you.
Exactly.
I'm voting for Trump.
The last thing you want to hear is some fucking pink haired college kid say, educate yourself.
Exactly.
And it's like, educate myself on what? What are you talking? Whose education?
Exactly.
What do you mean?
The thing that the idea that we conflate other people's successes in certain races and then make that your success also, to me, I think is a really dumb, short-sighted, yet survivalistic way that people, human beings, look, right?
Sure.
So I don't know how many times I've seen many white guys that I know growing up, or even when I was in the Marines, that would, you could tell they are resting on the laurels.
Yep.
Of other successful white people.
Sure.
Does that make sense? Black people do the same thing, you know? Arabs do the same thing, right? Like,
yeah.
Arabs would just be like, we're like the enemy in everything in the news. So Arabs love to latch on to when, oh my God, this Palestinian girl in Palestine invented this thing. And look, this was done by an Arab person. And it's
I get what you're saying, right? It's like, okay, right, yeah. Now I'm following, for sure.
You know what I'm talking about?
Of course, dude. And it's like...
Some people attach the other people's successes, and just because they're of that race or that color, that now it's their success.
Yeah.
So, and then on the opposite, now it's being thrown back on white people, where it's just like, because you're white, you're successful because these other white people are successful.
Right.
And even though you're that example, maybe that of that guy who's got a fucking shitty life.
Yeah. I personally don't, but I relate.
No,
to
no. What
people.
I'm saying you as
I get
in, like.
It. Well, the other thing too, it's funny because the concept of whiteness is still relatively new. Because when you look, if you go back like 100-ish, a little bit more, but even 100 years ago, Italians didn't count, Irish didn't count, Jews definitely didn't count, and then there are Jews of other races, but most of us in America are white. You know, if it's Eastern European, no, it was just WASPy English, like Germanic, right, and then. You know, little by little, it was like, and that's, I think, one of the beauties of America is that there was so much of the melting pot melting together. It's like, well, all of these superficial terms are slowly fading away to an extent, although now it's kind of going back in the sense, right, where it's like you want, like, it's almost like we're going back into segregation because it was like, no, segregation didn't solve the problems of inequality. So now we have to resegregate and then push certain groups to the top no matter what. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And I think that's going to backfire.
In what way do you think?
People are not going to put up with that. People who feel like they're getting left behind are going to you're going to push people. There is no scenario where someone is going to hear, "Hey, your ancestors might have had slaves, might have been racist, might have, or they would say definitely, but whatever, you know, might be at fault for all of the injustice today. So you got to deal with the burden now." No one, people aren't going to be like, okay, I guess you're right. They're going to get together with each other and look around and be like, well, fuck that.
Unless you're liberal.
But even those,
if you're a virtue signaling liberal, you're like, yeah, okay, I'm sorry, I'm bad white guy. That makes me good, right?
You see that until they start losing money and jobs and opportunities. Because when they can do it where it's like a virtue signal thing, then they're going to be like, yeah, look at us. But I'm telling you, it's a domino effect, dude. And what's going to start happening is you're going to make people want to be racist again. There's no way you can hyper focus.
I'm with you. I'm with
on racial difference.
I'm with you.
And not make people end up becoming
racist.
That's
what I'm saying.
Because people, someone's always.
Because in and of itself, it's racist.
There you go, dude.
The fact that we are. Listen, have you seen that?
If a brown Muslim dude and a white Jewish guy.
What, you're Jewish?
But like, I don't go to shul.
End of fucking podcast. Fuck this, bro. I thought you were just some white dude.
No, dude.
No, I'm just joking. I'm joking.
I mean, I haven't.
What were you going to say? I was just joking. What were you going
to
say?
I know. If we could come to a place of agreement, then like, see, it's easy. Like, you just got to talk to people.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of it is exacerbated through social media.
Of course.
We're not having the real discussions.
I'm also not an ideologue, neither are you.
I'm having flame wars with people I know on Facebook, and then when I meet them in person, they're like, hey, what's
up? Mm-hmm. But again, just on that point.
You was just a totally different person on fucking Facebook.
But on that point before, the way you were saying, like, just because they happen to be from what I'm from doesn't mean I'm the same way. I don't feel like a special solidarity. I mean, like, minor instances, maybe. But if someone just happens to be, like I don't, I'm not a identitarian in that way, you know?
Me neither.
I'm just a human.
That's how I like to try to look at things, man.
Mm-hmm.
I listen.
But that's what I was saying before. The people who are the one percenters don't want that. They don't want us coming together.
Exactly. Just like the old Noam Chomsky quote that I love. And he goes, in America, we have a class war disguised as a race war.
100%. Dude, slave masters did that. That's why you get light skins in the house, dark skin in the field.
And to me, it's really funny. It's like right now, it's liberals that are pushing that more. Yeah. So when I was growing up, man, liberals were the ones that were pushing against this system of racism.
So,
right? And then now it's like liberals are rebranding.
So let me ask
systemic
you this.
Racism. And it's so fucking weird. And it's.
Tell me, I had a theory on this. I've thought about this a lot. I've talked about this at length on my other podcast. Excuse me. I would love your take. I think one of the flaws or one of the unfortunate realities of these progressive movements is that they start, they're amazing, they do so much good for change. I'll use like gay rights for an example, right?
Sure, sure.
So gay rights.
I think I know exactly where you're going with this. Okay.
Once gay marriage became federally legal, which is a great thing and it was long overdue.
Terrible.
Then it, but then it's like these organizations aren't just going to be like, all right, guys, pack it up. We did it. There has to be a struggle. These are fundraising machines. They're not just going to be like, all right, we got it. Then we have to go to the transgender stuff. And I don't, transgender people should have all the same rights as everybody else. I'm not, you know, but now because there still isn't like a new battle to really fight, it has to be about like pronouns and bathrooms. And
they have to keep heightening it.
That's what I'm saying.
They have to
dude.
Keep justifying their positions.
Yeah. And like, obviously, there are racial disparities in this country. White people still, on average, do better than minorities when it comes to just like treatment by police officers and access to. I get all that, but you have to. The only way to make the machine run is to keep exacerbating the worst examples, and you can't talk about the progress. It doesn't work that way. That's the problem, man.
So the point that you're making is that you were going to ask me a question. What was the question then?
Oh, just that you do you agree with that, or do you have what is your take on it?
I believe you're right, dude. I believe we have created the internet, and then the internet, instead of informing us more, has instead become a tool to exacerbate our egos to a point where now, instead of us doing good things to do the good things for the greater good, we're doing it for the likes and the accolades. And I think that just keeps. So then what ends up happening is you see people who are in charge of these movements, say like Black Lives Matter or whatever fucking movement, Dr. Fauci.
Right. Yep.
They are all the type of people, if you really do the scratch and sniff test, there's a narcissist under there.
Well,
and there's somebody there that just, they'll do good things, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that they're not. But it really is driven by how they feel.
Of
People
course,
look
dude.
At them. And then that takes it to a level where you have this heightening.
Yep.
It's like, oh, it's not good enough that we have marriage. Now we need to deal with pronouns. Now we need to do this. Now we need to add another alphabet to the LGBTQ fucking whatever.
I'll give you another example. Someone in my family, a relative of mine, she and her husband.
You want some, don't you? I can tell.
Yeah, but I got stuff to do later.
Oh, dad.
I know. I got to take care of my son. I got clips to edit, you know. My wife and I we're building up our production company. Everybody follows Skewed Orbit on Instagram, by the way. Okay, sorry, I'll stop plugging my stuff. But someone in my family, she and her husband have fostered and then adopted 10 children. They're very good people. They're very into that world.
Do they have their own children?
No.
Okay.
But my point with this real quick is
that's amazing.
Yeah, they're like the kindest, most wonderful people that's I've amazing, ever met. Yeah. But now there's this in the foster care world, there's a lot of complicated stuff that I can't get into because I'm not educated enough. But just to paraphrase some things that she explained to me is now there's a movement that they don't want children of different races put with parents of a different race. Right. So they would only want me to be able to foster and adopt a white child. They would only want a black family to be able to foster and adopt a black child. And my relative.
Yeah. And who's pushing this?
Like
adoptment, the agencies, the
and some of the intellectual elites from the universe, like the guy named Ibram X. Kendi. I don't know if you know him. He's like one of these like media space people that believes that it's like he went on an attack with I have to find the book he wrote and articles and stuff, but he shits on people like Madonna and Angelina Jolie for adopting children of other races because he's basically saying that they're like robbing them of their ethnic heritage and forcing them into like a life of whiteness. And it's like, yeah, why don't you just focus on like they're rescuing a kid from a terrible situation? But that's what I'm saying, though, is like we like invent new things to be furious about. So my relative, I'm being vague because I don't know if she wants to be talked about directly. She was really upset because she has a multiracial family of adopted children. And now the narrative that's being pushed that she somehow is stealing that child's, you know, true identity by forcing
them. You know, so funny when you hit me with that fucking just that propaganda you just hit me with.
Yeah,
it almost got me thinking that way too. In terms of like, so there's a part of me that was like, that's like, yeah, she's helping you know, some kids not live in a shithole anymore, as Trump would say, right?
Yeah.
But then as another thing, part of me is just kind of like, yeah, bro, why are you making that kid white?
But what does that even mean?
What do you mean that kid white, bro?
What does it mean to be white? There's like hundreds.
Fuck, it's gross. What do you mean? Have you been to Taylor, Michigan? Ugh. Taylor, Michigan.
What is the whitest thing? What are things that are uniquely white? Cracker Barrel feels uniquely white.
Words like rambunctious.
The word rambunctious.
You know what I mean? Like words like that, you know? Yeah. Skedaddle.
Skedaddle.
That's white as fuck.
That's like a grandma word, I guess.
That's what I'm supposed to be white, yeah, though.
Okay, skedaddle. So hold on. We were talking about this before the pod.
Euchre. Euchre is very white. You told Euchre.
Well, I don't even know what that means.
Yeah. Euchre? It's a white people card game that they play in Michigan. I never heard of it. Shit. Euchre.
See, I'm not even that versed
okay,
on
okay, but
it.
When you hear people playing a game of Euchre, do you picture a bunch of black guys?
Well, I've never heard the term. If you picture...
But just picture the word.
If you said Yahtzee, I would think of old white ladies.
Well, Yahtzee, everyone knows Yahtzee.
Right.
But just listen to the word. Just ready? Just
okay, use it in a sentence. Use it in a sentence.
Just hear it. You want to play Euchre?
It sounds like a drinking game.
That white people are doing.
Sure, yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
I would think most drinking games have been invented by white people. Because, you know, other cultures have like actual interesting ethnic celebrations a part of their drinking. White people is just like, let's get drunk faster.
Oh, man. That's my favorite. That's why I like being in the Marines, man. That was just like,
well, did you fun. Were you allowed to drink growing up? Because, you know, Muslims don't drink.
No, but I did.
Yeah. Like on the DL? Like,
yeah.
Did your parents drink?
No.
Okay.
Fuck no.
Yeah.
No, my parents didn't do shit. My parents were like super fucking, my dad was super strict. He was a ball buster, yeah, bro. People tell
went to
me.
To mosque every week and everything, yeah.
Well, no, he was kind of a fake,
okay,
fake Muslim. He was he prayed intermittently.
Sure.
But then he wanted us to pray all the time. And then this is why I'm no longer a Muslim, because when you have a dad like this, it's just like, you need to be a better Muslim. I was like, well, you don't even pray.
Okay,
and you know what he tells me?
Right.
He'd be like, yeah, but if I go to hell, it's okay. I don't want you to go to hell. And it's like, shut the fuck up, bro.
That's so funny,
but my
dude.
Point is that, like, yeah, I just saw a lot of, I forgot the point that I was making.
Well, I was on that, to tag on that, my wife and I have a similar different but similar philosophy on religion, because she grew up in the church. You know, she was going to Bible school in the summer and everything like that, right? And I went to Hebrew school and I was Jewish, but we're both kind of like, listen, religion's fine if it's for you, but we're like, you know, maybe just figure out what's important to you and be good to people. Do you need this book to,
yeah,
like, strictly guide your life?
You don't.
Some people do, I think, but the problem is some people I really do believe it is good for them. Like, it gives them guidance and purpose and
those people are weak.
And a moral code. Sure, but I also
I'm joking. I'm not saying that.
But I also think
Some people really do find even more strength through it.
Yeah, but a lot of people also use it to abuse other people.
That's exactly it.
And that's the problem.
Well, it's a tool.
Right. Like anything.
You can, like, you know, you can use the hammer to build a house or bash a head in.
But I wanted to ask you this. You were talking about Michigan earlier before the podcast. Do you think Michigan is exceptionally racist? I think it is, and I don't believe, I have some relatives there, and I don't think that about them specifically, but the state of Michigan, I'm from Virginia originally, and that's like South. Like, I'm from the South. Like, people still do.
The state of Michigan is racist, yet it voted for Obama.
Oh, so, it's not, so it can't be that racist.
You know?
Yeah.
I just feel like we get really lost in this idea of, like, what racist is sometimes, man. Especially when you try to, put it, like, in a grand, like, you know, like, oh, the state is the state. I'm like, I'll say this, bro. I could take you in places in Detroit or, like, the surrounding cities where I could be, like, on one side of the street, right? And we'll be in Detroit.
Yeah.
Right? And on this side of the street, it looks like fucking Baghdad.
Right.
Like, you won't believe it.
Yeah.
You as an American will be flabbergasted.
Sure.
Okay? And then, right down the middle of that road is the borderline for Detroit and then Grosse Pointe Hills, which is a very rich,
like Beverly
nice
Hills
area.
Or something?
Yeah. Back in the day, bro, half the road was fucking paved nicer on the...
That's so funny.
So you would sit on this side,
right,
and it would be just fucking death behind you, like Terminator 2 death.
You know
what I mean?
Sure.
You're just missing the robots.
I get it.
Okay?
Right.
And then right across the street is a fucking beautiful mansion.
That is what the third world's like. I mean, if you look at, like, third world countries, they have, like, you know, the ambassadors or the emperor's palace or whatever, and there's, like, you know, there are select people that run things.
Yeah, but this is state sponsored.
No, I know. You know what I mean? But I'm saying, like, it's not that different.
It's crazy. So, like, in terms of, like, the whole racist thing, is Michigan racist? Fuck yeah, Michigan's racist.
Is, but what
it,
even like, is
the most
racist?
Anymore? You know, I don't know, man. I will have to say this. The people in Michigan are very nice with the racism, though. Mm. So it's, like, really nice to be around them.
There you go.
So they said they got that Midwest hospitality. So if they're racist, man, I'm having a good time.
I don't think that about the... I guess I should rephrase. I probably should have explained this better because I have family there and they're all lovely people and I wouldn't put that on them. I just know that, like...
Are they Jewish?
No.
Okay.
They're my in-laws.
Your in-laws.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I know that, like, there's pockets of Michigan that have been, like, exceptionally into the alt-right stuff. Like the belly of the beast is in Michigan for a lot of that stuff.
I could definitely see that, man. You know? But I tell you what, though. I drive all throughout Michigan, man. I do shows in the middle of Michigan and everything.
And you're good. It's really mostly from a Vice documentary that I watched. And now
honestly,
that
bro, what's racism?
I don't know.
Like, well, here's the thing. Like... Am I going to be mad if I'm doing a show in Midland, Michigan, and I'm doing one of my racist jokes about Arabs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just fucking going off, having fun, right? And then you could tell the one guy laughing in there is like the fucking guy who hates Arabs, right? Or whatever.
Sure. Yeah,
or that
yeah.
laugh kind of sounds like, you know,
right?
Do I gotta like invest energy on that guy, or should I just be happy that there's no fucking negativity happening in this moment?
No, I think that's fine. I think real, true racism is like if you applied for a job and they're like, "Mike, we're good, no thanks." Or even worse, if they like he and his buddies went to the parking lot and they were like, "Hey, don't come back." That's legit racism, right? Like intimidating you because of like an immutable characteristic they don't
saying,
like.
That's what I'm saying, bro.
But
then there's also this playful racism.
Yeah, and I think
there is this kind of playful, almost hatred, almost I look down on those people, but I think it's funny to talk about them in a certain way.
Right.
You know, there's that too.
But I think it's, well, finish your thought. I don't know.
I've never really invested that much energy into hating every facet of racism.
Mm-hmm. I get it.
It's just there, bro. You know?
Yeah. And like, I can only speak, I know people in like the circles I came up in that they were convinced everything that was even a slightly ignorant comment about Jews. They were like, "See, they're out to get us." I'm like,
"See?"
And I'm like, "God," or maybe like, don't think that way. Maybe people just don't look at everything the way you do. Were they specifically going after you to target you?
But no. Wouldn't you agree that the Jewish people have been, as far as we know, fucked with so many times over history, right?
Yeah. But
that you guys have developed sort of a...
Oh, it's cultural PTSD.
Victimhood mentality, but yet deriving strength through that idea of like, we need to overcome this. Everyone's out to get us. You know, all we have is each other.
Yeah.
Right? Wouldn't you say so?
Of course.
I'm please correct me if I'm wrong, because you're Jewish. I'm just...
No. You're 100% right. I think, though... We all of that is totally accurate and true, but I think that sometimes it blinds people to thinking logically when they are like on the ready to like with any group, right? When they're
I think that's part of the control.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
I think that's part of the control.
I mean, kind of the OG conspiracy theory is that the Jews killed Christ.
But here's another thing. Before we talk on that, I hate that term.
Jews?
The Jews killed Christ. You know, Right. Here's the thing that pisses me the fuck off is no one is saying this.
Yeah.
What the fuck does a bunch of Jews 2,000 years ago have to do with you?
Well, I can tell you from a historical standpoint where that comes from.
But it's just racism, bro. It's just a way to fucking continue hate. That's all it is.
Yeah.
It just comes from people who just want to fucking continue hating, man. Because,
but I think all of that, I think most people.
It's just that I hate that. That we fucking like I said earlier, we. It's both ways. We attach ourselves to the successes of our own people,
right?
And then people who hate us attach us to the negative sides of those.
But you know, it's funny though; they'll attach it to the success, but they won't let it get attached if it's the opposite, right? Like when Bernie Madoff got caught with like the biggest Ponzi scheme in history. They're like, "Well, I mean, hey, man, don't put that on." And I agree. Like,
don't put that on what?
All Jews. It was a guy. Same with like if some insane person blows himself up in the name of Allah, like don't put that on you. Like you can, but if you also say one for our team when it's a win,
sure,
you can't be shocked when people are like
doing the opposite. That's what I'm saying,
right?
It's the point that I it's like you're
so just, be an individual.
You're driving that exactly.
Yeah,
be like Morgan Freeman.
I love Morgan Freeman.
He's God.
There you go. He literally.
I think he's God.
And Bruce Almighty. He was God.
He would be the best guy. Like if I know it was Morgan Freeman, I'm like, fuck yeah.
Dude, imagine Morgan Freeman narrating your life. Just like day to day, just narrating.
I wouldn't get anything done because I'd just be coming all the time. I wouldn't be able to get any work done, but I'd just be exhausted. Like, oh my God.
That would be the greatest person ever. Man, I would love if you could like win a sit down and have dinner with any actor for sure. Him and Denzel would be my two top.
Oh, yeah, Denzel, for sure. Something about Denzel tells me he's going to disappoint me, though.
Why is that?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I hope not.
I think he's an OG, man.
I heard some fucking terrible things of certain, like, heroes of mine
like
from
who?
Other people. Robert De Niro.
Well, that I believe. He seems annoying.
I don't know. But you know who's a delight, apparently? Mm. Al Pacino.
Interesting.
Al Pacino did Jack Kevorkian. And they shot that in Detroit.
Okay.
Had a lot of friends that were extras on that. Al Pacino got mad that the extras weren't eating what he was eating.
I dig that.
So he said he wouldn't film anymore until they started feeding the extras.
Shoot, shout out to Al, dude.
The same shit he goes. And then everyone says all throughout in between takes, he doesn't retreat to his trailer. He will sometimes, but a lot of times he'll just hang out.
I like that.
Hang out with the extras, hang out with the camera people.
You know what? I'll tell you, very different, but you know who was fucking cool? He looks like a goober, but he was awesome. Guy Fieri. I did one of his shows once.
Oh, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
I could, when I see that Guy Fieri, I could tell. I'm like, oh,
he's cool, man. So I did, I don't know if you've ever done like paid audience work, but there's a lot of shows where if they need a crowd, they'll pay you to be there.
I've heard
so
that.
He had like a cooking. It's a great gig for a comic. If you have like a free day, they pay you in cash same day.
Yeah.
It's really simple. But he had like a cooking competition and it was like only about 40 of us in the audience. It was a small crowd. And he went out and like, we had to stay extra to like get some stuff done, but he wanted us happy. So he bought everybody pizza, had a coffee delivery. He was like coming in between breaks with the crew doing stuff. He came and chatted with us. He was like, hey, what do you guys do, man? We're like, you know, he just wanted to, I mean, and again, it was his show. So part of it was like, he wanted a good crowd for his show. But even so, like he made it a priority to connect with us, get us fed, get us coffee, like show that he wanted us to know he appreciated us being there. And I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I like him. I think he's like a good guy. You know?
That's good.
Yeah.
But he had hospitality.
Yes. But he's someone who's like, he's easy to make fun of, but.
Well, yeah, he fucking wears his glasses on the back of his head, bro.
Yeah, but also, I kind of dig that he just does it his way.
No.
More people should.
Bro, I think he knows he's made fun of.
If you wear a bowling shirt with flames,
does he,
you know.
Exactly.
Right.
Does he take himself seriously? Did you feel that?
No, not at all. Yeah, not at all.
Yeah, he probably fucking enjoys it.
Yeah.
He's like, whatever.
Well, think about it. He's very aware that he hit the jackpot. I mean, he's a great chef, and I'm sure he works hard, but he hit the jackpot. You know what I mean? Like,
but that's just so nice that, you know, like, I mean, sometimes you, like, see people who get to that level, and then they just sort of, like, lose the energy to have to do anything
right
for anyone like that. And then when you meet someone in that stature, and I met other people like this who were not even famous, but, you know, they had money, or they had stature, or they had power in some way, but then when you met them, they were just...
Dicks?
No, they were, like, very kind.
Oh, the opposite,
and
okay.
Cordial, yeah. And, like... You know, they treated you like they weren't like a rich person.
Sure.
And, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It was good. Like, you know, but then I met other people that are like that, and they just, it's not that they're jaded. I just think that I think some people, like if life is a video game and you get to the boss.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Some of us have the boss level. We figure that that's the boss level, and it's way too early.
Right.
So, like, they get a million dollars, and then they're like, oh, shit, I beat the game.
You know what?
You know, and then they just, like, check out on everything. They have, like, no more aspirations to do anything else aside from money, but being a better person, being nicer, being kinder, you know, expanding and becoming just a better human.
Right. Know? Or the opposite, they get to that boss level early and they're like, well, now what do I do with my life? Or they take some meaningless accolade too seriously. And I see that shit a lot with comedy. You know what? Comedians who have like a show, like they like run a show and it's like, it's a hot show. It's cool. But they think they're like king of Netflix. Yeah. It's like, dude, your show, you get a good crowd at this bar, but like relax, man. Cool. Like, good on you.
Yeah.
But like, you're taking your softball league way too seriously.
Yeah, bro.
It's sad.
You should still be running Netflix and still be cool.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I agree.
You
but I'm just saying
it's
sad when it's like something that's not even that cool. It's just like
I love going to an open mic and seeing a fucking headliner who fucking like crushes out at an open mic.
It's great.
I mean, that's just those things matter, man, you know? So I think like it is. Like some people they hit the boss level too soon. They think they've reached the boss
level. What's your boss level?
No, there is no boss level.
But do you have like benchmarks that are like I have a couple very specific benchmarks in my head.
Okay.
That
like, this is good. I like talking about shit like
this. Yeah, for sure. I mean, in my career, I love hosting. You know, I have my show Highly Unlikely that I hosted. And like one benchmark for that is if I can get that or a similar show that I like create, produce, like it's my baby on a Netflix or an Amazon or a Hulu. And it's like, by Alex Getlin, like that's a benchmark for sure. Oh, I don't care about like awards like Emmys and stuff. That's not really my wheelhouse. And I don't even care about getting a special per se. Like I think the way comedy is evolving, I don't think I'd want to do a special for a long time. Like if Netflix, I mean, if they offered me one, of course I would take it. But I think for me, more so, just being able to like, so this is another benchmark for me. I started in Boston. There's a club called the Wilbur. It's a 1,200 seat miniature theater. It's like not even miniature, but it's a theater, but it's like a comedy club.
It's kind of intimate.
Well, they only book comics for the most part, and they get like Joe Coy, Rogan, people like
I've
that.
I've heard about the Wilbur. Yeah,
it's amazing. It's a phenomenal.
I mean, keep hearing
it's
good
a
things.
Beautiful like 100 old theater. Once I can headline that, like my name on the marquee of the Wilbur, like I made it. And there's a lot of venues that are very special to people. Like, obviously, like, the Garden is, like, a huge, much bigger, more whatever. But for me, the Wilbur, like, that was the place where I started. Mm. And, like, looking at that, it would be cool to open for someone there, for sure. I've had a lot of friends who've done that. But, like, getting your name on the marquee there, absolutely.
I have a lot of benchmarks, too, dude. But they're not winning. I don't think I never.
But what do you think of them at?
I already won.
Okay, that's a good attitude.
I had a threesome.
What was the other dude like?
Fuck you. Just like Patrice O'Neal says, a threesome is two guys, two girls and a guy.
Let me ask you this.
Two guys and a girl is a train.
There you go. I agree. Okay, so your threesome, how long ago was it?
I mean,
It's only for reference because, like, did you peak early? Is what I'm saying? Like,
no, I was just joking. Oh, okay. I was just saying that as a joke. Right. Like, I won already. I had a threesome. That's not the point.
That used to be a goal of mine. And I mean, obviously, I'm married, so, like, it's a little different now. If we had one, it would still happen, Rachel.
Make it happen.
It would have to be with an escort. That's the only way I would do it.
I totally understand that.
I totally understand that.
Especially if you're with a woman that you're committed with like that. There's something about knowing that you can hire a mercenary to come in and leave and not fucking muddy anything up.
And this is the thing. Even if my wife was like, you know, it's an anniversary.
But it's still hot to pick up a girl, though.
For sure. But
it's on another level. Sometimes, man, getting a prostitute, man, it's, I don't know about you, but like sex with prostitutes, it's transactional.
I haven't done it, so I don't know. But I can imagine.
I didn't like it.
The closest I've had is like paying for lap dances at strip clubs, and that I'm like, this isn't fun.
I don't like that either.
I only meant that if we were to do that, it's because if it was any other scenario, I get what you're saying, like the chase and the win and the pickup of the girl.
Sure.
But there's too many variables after the fact.
For sure.
Even if it's like the coolest chick and my wife finds her and whatever, there's still, I don't know.
Is
she going to key my car? Is she going to try and kidnap my son? Fuck that.
Is she
going
to try to hit on your wife after?
I don't mind that part so much.
No, what I mean is like, you know.
Oh, in a weird way.
Not in a weird way. Like, you know, behind your back.
Yeah, see, that's. You know what I mean? No.
Or like, is the girl going to try to be like, hit you up afterwards and be like, yeah, that threesome was fun, but can we just do it with you next time? You know, that type of shit. Or just trying to like.
It's funny because I know my wife so well and she would just be like, I don't have time for this.
I'm like the Chuck Woolery of threesomes, bro.
What does that mean? I don't get
it. I've had a lot of threesomes. I'm like the.
Really?
I'm Mr. Threesome Connection.
How do you pull them off? I've never.
I just have a knack for it, bro.
But like, there has to be a certain kind of girl that's into it. Like, you can't just get any girl to have a threesome.
No. No. And sometimes it blows up in your face and you lose.
Tell me that
story.
I want to hear some of those.
Losing the girl?
How did it blow up in your face?
Like, you know, you could just be like, so here's the thing. Like, Patrice O'Neal had, as he was the godfather, man, when it came to like game.
Yeah.
Right. And one of my favorite philosophies that he said that I taught on the solo podcast that I do here is be willing to take the L.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And that's, I've always lived like that.
Okay.
Be willing to take the L.
Yeah.
So if I'm dating a girl, right, we starting to like each other or whatever, I would like to know if she'd be down to have a threesome.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to bring it up.
Totally.
Even though I know maybe she might be the girl that'd be like, oh my God, that's what you want? I don't want this relationship anywhere. No,
right.
I just lost the girl.
Yeah.
So I've had that. When I was in Arizona,
yeah,
this at the Big Pine.
You had a threesome at Big Pine?
No, a friend of mine who's a cute girl. She brought. I told her, I was like, "You're gonna come see me. Bring a friend. Make sure they're single." She brings this.
Sure.
Cute motherfucking whoa.
Yeah.
Okay, but after the show, I bombed. By the way, so I.
Oh my God, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
It hurts so much worse.
By my standards, I bombed.
Okay.
You know what
I
mean?
She did fine.
Yeah, yeah.
It was fine. But I get it.
It was fine.
You know what? That almost feels worse sometimes. Like, at least if you have an epic bomb, it's like that was something that occurred.
Nah, I'd rather just be fine. Okay. I don't want a fucking epic bomb, especially in front of people I know and shit.
Yeah, fair. Okay.
So we were hanging out afterwards, and this is me fucking being willing to take the L, bro.
Yeah.
I sat down in front of Christina and her friend, and we were talking, and then all of a sudden we were talking about relationships, and then we went transitioned to this, and then mm-hmm. we transitioned to that. And the opportunity arose within the conversation, and I literally said, we should have a threesome.
And
they all looked at each other.
Yeah.
And the one girl was like, I need to be hammered for that.
Okay.
Whoa.
So she's like.
So I had a trooper here.
Of course.
And the other girl said, we'll see.
Mm.
Then they decided that they were going to stay longer.
Okay. That's a good sign.
So then they went to go park their car in a spot where they could park overnight.
Sure.
Came back to drink. Long story short, no. The threesome didn't happen.
Didn't happen, yeah.
Yeah, because in the end, it was like, both of them were just like, I don't think I could do it with this, but.
They were open to it.
You see how I was very close to making it happen. And like for some people, they'd be like too awkward to bring that up.
But, yeah.
You know.
Okay, so thinking.
And I think that's important in dating.
I'm replaying some of the scenarios.
And it's important. And it's important to learn how to backpedal.
Well, so this
it's important to be like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to offend.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, yeah.
It's very important.
Because I'm thinking about some of my past relationships, and like, I had been with girls who had had threesomes and told me about it. And they had said how fun it was. And I was like, awesome. But then they didn't want to do it with me because they said they would get jealous. So I think I got too into it. Like, we were too far down the line into our thing. And they were like, well, no, I can't. If we did it, if I did it with you, that would be a problem because I'm like emotionally invested. And I was like, well, fuck, man, I would have brought it up sooner. I didn't know you that well.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing. That's,
and now I'm married. So, you know.
And that's another thing is if you're going to spring a threesome on acquaintances, I guess, you got to do it before you guys really like become friends.
Yeah,
know what I mean?
I never really, I also think like, as much as like,
because once you guys get like to that like friendship level, then it can get really awkward.
Yeah. And I also think like, listen, every dude fantasizes about being with two chicks. I get it. But I don't think it's like as epic. Like, it's cool. Like, it'd be awesome, but it's not like going to change your life. It's not like,
no, it's going to change your life.
You think so?
Yeah.
I feel like headlining like a legit like dream venue is more important to me than like,
that's way more important to me too.
But the threesome is still...
Fuck, bro. It's great.
I guess I don't know. I'll just have to take your word for
it. I just mean, like, some people hate it. I know a friend of mine...
Well, that seems silly.
That's what I think, too. My buddy...
But if you're super vanilla, I get it.
My buddy Tyler...
If you're real traditional, I get it.
Shout out to Tyler. He was just like, I don't know, man. He's like, this is too much going on. He goes, like, it's just, I don't like it. I'm like, you're an idiot.
No, I mean, I
too much going on. What are you talking about? What does that mean?
That he's not confident in himself. That's the thing. Or he's just very traditional. Like, he really is like emotionally connected to the women he's with.
So like, he said that multiple times. We were hanging out. I'm like, I'm short circuiting. Like, you keep saying that same thing. But, so I know you believe that. But what the fuck does that mean?
Is he like a real wholesome guy? Because I know guys.
No, I don't think so. No.
I guess I
just think some people are just not into it. Not only that, like, I remember, like, I'll date bi girls and, you know, I'll talk to them. Sometimes we'll just be like dating casually. And they all said that, yeah. It's kind of hard. They said it was hard to, like, they're bi, but they said it's hard for them to find a guy that would be down to have a threesome with another girl without getting jealous. And I'm like,
the guy would get jealous?
Yeah.
That seems strange.
But if they were in a relationship is what I mean.
Oh, well, no, I can imagine that. But also, I think from like once I crossed over 30, my attitude towards sex changed a lot. Because that was the first era of my life where I had sex with girls that I was just like, oh, cool. Like, we met up. We did it. And I would get like bored in the middle because it was just like
it
was so contractual. Like, it was just like, not like there was money or anything, but just that.
No,
like,
I know what you mean.
It was just,
transactional.
Yeah,
it was all transactional.
Yeah, and I was just like, this is, because when you're in your 20s, like, I was so horny in my 20s.
Yeah.
Anytime I had sex, like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
Even if, like, she was, like, ugly.
You don't get like that anymore?
No. Well, I mean, now I have a wife, so it's different.
Are you jerking off?
Like, on my own time?
Yeah.
Yeah, but man, of course.
Don't do that.
What do you mean? No, I don't get transactional now.
No.
Don't jerk off at all?
Yeah.
Are you insane?
Yeah, don't.
What are you talking about?
You have a wife.
Oh, now you're just being ridiculous.
No.
Okay.
Do you have a fucking wife?
Jerk off on her. You know, after a baby, you can't have sex right away. You do know that they have to heal.
No, but I'm talking about in general.
Sure. But what I'm saying is that I knew I matured because my attitude towards sex evolved. Because then for me, I mean, obviously there's exceptions, but in the most part, I was like, this is before I was married, but I was like, just having sex because it's like, we could do it. It like wasn't cool. It was like, now it's not fun. Because like that, the novelty of like, I'm getting laid again wore off. And when there wasn't something else there, I was like, I don't hate it, but it's
that
like,
never wears off for me.
Well,
you know, I think it's because I live my life in reverse.
Mm-hmm.
I started my 20s serial monogamous in a long-term relationship.
Yeah.
The majority of my 20s, I was in a fucking 9-year relationship.
Damn, bro.
With this girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, like, all of a sudden, you know, in my 30s, I decided to go single, and I'm like, man, fuck it. I'm just going to be a hoe now.
Yeah. I see.
I mean? So then, like, now I'm like, that's, I kind of enjoy that because I saw the dark side of the other side of like investing something with the wrong person.
You know what the other part for me too was, is I'm too paranoid about stuff. So like, you know, the more you have sex with somebody you don't really know that well, you're kind of rolling the dice on crazy coming back on you later. And I just started to feel like this wasn't a good thing to do that often. Listen, for the record, hyper focused, like everything was super consensual and like communication, all of that. But still, some people get their feelings hurt, or it's like, yeah, this is fun, but I'm going to do something else. And I just think like you don't want to keep having that energy in your life where it's like, yeah, we fucked around, but now I'm over it and I'm going to like no hard feelings. That doesn't make sense. You look confused.
You're saying that that's not a good energy to have in your life?
Like, I didn't like having girls that I fooled around with. We had consensual fun. And then it's like, yeah, no hard feelings. I'd rather do something else. And then they're like not thrilled about that. I just don't like having that like energy out there being like, oh, fuck this guy.
Oh, no, I know what you mean. And the thing
it
is,
it made
is
me
that-
feel good. Like, it made me feel kind of shitty and also a little paranoid.
Paranoid?
Like, I don't know if they're going to key my car or show
up. You think about that stuff?
Yeah, dude.
Wow.
It's never happened to me.
Man, I never think of that. But stuff.
People get vengeful. I get vengeful.
Oh, well, then maybe you're fucking worried about people that are like you.
But I've never had to act on it. I just think about it.
Uh-oh.
I think my wife thinks I was like a mafia hitman in a past life, because I think when people screw, like, do things that aren't cool, I like, I'm like, dude, we need to fuck with this person. Like, this is, they can't get away with this.
Yeah. What were you just saying before?
I was just saying, like, the fuckboy persona, whatever. Like, I just got to a phase in my life when I was, like, having... Yeah,
you said that it was like you didn't like having that energy out there, that person. So, like, let's say you were having casual sex with a girl, and then maybe she wanted to take it a step further, and you're like, well, let's just, you know, part ways. And
yeah.
Then you didn't want to have this girl out there with this energy of fuck this guy.
Yeah, right? Like,
but here's the thing, though. Like, what if, like, for me, I'm up front at the top.
No, I understand that, but
like, I let girls know right up the jump. You know, like, if I start sensing that they want anything right. more than that, I'm like, that's not me right now. Or if I am, you know.
But did you feel? Because I felt this way. You can say all you want. You're like, oh yeah, I'm like so chill. I'm like so chill. It's cool. But it changes.
And that's exactly it.
And then it's like, I don't... Like, the last girl I was seeing a little bit
I
before
exactly
my wife...
I know exactly what you mean.
Like, it got...
I was going to bring this up, too.
It was all of that, right? And we were having... And I was like, I got...
And she was like, sure.
And I got bored. And I knew I got bored. And I was like, I could keep sleeping with this girl. She likes me a lot, I can tell. But I'm not into it. And then I broke it off with her. She was crying a little bit. And like, okay, well, I just... it was just something I did. I'm like, no, you didn't do anything. And I just like felt gross. It made me feel gross. It made me feel like I was like,
well, you're a good person, man.
Well, I just think, I don't know, maybe. I don't like to think of myself as an exceptionally good person.
I've never had a girl cry like that, though. I've always had
to get my hooks in.
If it was a negative thing, which was a handful.
Yeah.
Like the toxic girls, it would always be they'd guilt you.
Yeah.
They would just guilt you.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't cry or whatever. They'd play these fucking, oh, so you're just fucking blah, blah, blah.
I had an
blah,
ex
blah,
like
blah.
That, yeah.
And then I'd be like, oh, well, I don't think this is going to work out. And then I would do the right thing and be like, maybe we should stop. And they're like, no, we should keep going. So then I was just like, okay.
Yeah, right.
But then I also, like, I'm a man.
Yep.
Right? And when it comes to sex, like, you know.
I guess for me.
It's just like, I would love to have sex again.
Here's a better example, right?
Then they play nice, and then they get mad again, and it's just like, what?
I started to become, once I hit 30, I started to become more, maybe it was a little under 30 now that I'm thinking about it. It might have been like 28, 29. I don't remember. But either way, it was in that window, right?
Right.
And I would be able to kind of tell if they were acting cool, but I could tell they really were like I could tell if they in their head were like, play cool,
yeah.
Don't be too into
I'm
it.
I'm already there.
And I was like, and then once I could tell that she was waiting for me to like be really into it, I was like, don't be shitty. Cause I hate being, if I feel like someone is lying to me, leading me on, blowing smoke in any scenario,
I know
it's very hard for me to come back around.
Yeah.
So then
too.
I stopped and I was like, who am I to do that?
Yeah.
And then also I realized too, I was like, thinking back, I'd say about 90% of the bad decisions I've made in my life were because I was horny in the pursuit of getting laid. I don't make a lot of bad choices. And when I do make them, it's because I was blinded by my own dick. So then I started to be resentful of my own horniness because I was like, well, man, you got to think clear, bro. If you want to really make this thing work out, like the life that you want, you can't be doing dumb shit. That's why when I see dudes who are like serial philanderers and they throw away this like great life they had, it's like, what were you, like Schwarzenegger? I love Schwarzenegger's success story is incredible to me. You're like, you fucked your maid? Come on, man. I get it. You're like the king, whatever, but like, have more control. Have more self-discipline.
Your dick just wants what you can't have.
But I don't like that. I'm resentful of my own dick.
Yeah. You know what, though? I love and hate my dick, too, man. I mean, the thing is, I don't like jerking off.
I don't like... Wait, what? Really?
No.
Well, I don't... I've been
scaling back.
Well, I don't... I feel like
I'm doing that because I'm a single man. I need to keep the hunt alive. You know what I mean?
Oh, I get that.
Sometimes if I like... if I rub one out, and then I'm just like, I'm okay with not hitting on that girl that's really cute. And then I just might have missed an opportunity to actually meet a girl that not only I want to hook up with, it might be a girl I might want to be with.
See, to me, jerking off is like shitting. You know, it can feel good, but it's the thing I just got to do. It's not like exciting. It's like, I just got to do this and I can move on. It's not like, woohoo. Yeah.
I mean, I'm like that too.
Yeah.
Trust me, dude. Yeah. But recently, man, I've been like... nah, bro.
But you know what the fucked up thing is?
I like myself.
Yeah.
When I'm like up to my eyeballs and cum. Man, you know what I mean? Like that.
Your own cum or other people's.
No, but what I'm saying is like that type of fucking like
hunger.
That aggression, that yeah. hunt.
But that's man. What exactly. That's that, what makes you work for it.
That even at my age, that ability,
that predator instinct
to still go through the fucking that last girl that I, the threesome one that didn't happen, right? But then I ended up hooking up with the other girl.
Yeah.
Dude, it was like I was in a video game of like levels. She was such a player.
Yeah.
She played games throughout the whole time we were in the club.
Yeah.
Dude, trying to pretend like she was trying to dance with this other guy. And just, and me?
I don't like that stuff.
Hold on a second.
Okay.
Hold on a second.
All right.
Yes, I don't like that stuff either, right? Single man, didn't nut in 6 days.
Well, that's impressive.
I'm going through the motions. You feel me, bro?
Yeah.
So I went through the motions and I finally took her home, man, and it was hot.
Okay? I get it.
She was a smoke show, but she was crazy and one of those like shit starters to a point that one of the guys that she flirted with sent one of his friends over to grab her from me, and I almost got into a fight with this guy. And I had to flex on this guy to make sure you got to get the fuck out of here.
Are you a fight? Are you a dude who will, like, if someone steps, you'll step back?
What do you mean?
Like, I'm the kind of person, if I'm out somewhere, and unless someone puts hands on my woman or does something very, very, very egregious, you could say almost anything to me, and I'd be like, all right, man, I'm not going to fight you. It's not worth my time.
No, but for this, it's different. I'm the same way.
Yeah.
I don't want to do any work.
My ego is not that frail.
I don't want to do it. No, my ego is not frail either. But when you're dancing with a girl that you're planning on taking home tonight, and some guy walks around you, disrespects you, and just grabs her and pulls her away.
Well, that's different. Yeah, okay, that's different.
That's when I'm just like, the fuck are you doing?
But how did she react? Because if she...
When she saw me step on the guy...
Yeah. She was into it.
I heard her get wet.
Mm-hmm.
That like sealed the deal.
Yeah.
She was one of those girls.
Yeah.
She was one of those girls.
See, those girls were fun for like 30 minutes.
That's fun. I had only in it for one night.
So. I know. But that's the thing. That's the girl you have...
My point is that if
that's the girl you fuck on a weekend trip. You don't date her.
My point is that if I would have like jerked off that day, I would have went home.
Right.
I'd have been like, fuck this.
Yeah. Now, let's say...
Do you know what I mean?
For sure. Now, let me give you another scenario. Let's say you step to that guy. Turns out he knows how to fight. He fucks you up. Mm-hmm. Then you might have thought, I should have jerked off that day. I wouldn't have gotten my ass kicked.
No.
You wouldn't have thought that.
I would have still fucked him up.
Okay, but in some scenarios, he might have been able to fuck you up. There are people who know how to fight really
sure.
well.
Sure. I get that.
Right. So I'm just saying, it could have gone the opposite.
Sure.
But you wouldn't have thought, I should have jerked off.
No.
All right.
No, I wouldn't have thought that after that. I would have been like, I should know jujitsu.
Do you know jujitsu?
No, but that's the thought that would come to me. Not that I should have jerked off.
Jujitsu wouldn't. Okay. I feel like Muay Thai would be better for like in a club. You gotta hit. Jujitsu is good, but I feel like
I've never done jujitsu. And I'm afraid because I got like fucked up neck. And
I mean, I'm a super duper novice in all this shit. I've done a little bit of jujitsu, Muay Thai, and Krav Maga, but my understanding of it is that in real life, if it's one-on-one and there aren't like lots of people around and you just have like jiu-jitsu would be great if someone tries to grab you can like get them off you and get out of there. But if you're like in a bar club and you're like two of you together, you're going to end up on the ground. Security's going to come over, grab you guys. Like, it's not really, you're not going to be able to do the scenario that you had where you like got him off and got the girl.
I wouldn't know.
Yeah. Just my limited understanding of
to me, it's just like, it would just be good to know that.
You know what I did? But, you know,
here's the thing. I'm not someone who would fight. Yeah. I fucking don't want to fight, bro.
I can tell you this. I've done only.
I don't want to fight. I'm a good fighter. I grew up fighting.
Yeah.
But I don't want to fight.
Like, just like homies in the street. Streets, yeah.
Man, people just be fucking in Detroit, yeah, where I was growing up, bro. So everyone's always trying to fight.
I'll tell you this. I've been hit in the face a number of times from like boxing class. I really don't like it. I really, really don't like it.
Getting hit in the face?
Sucks.
I like hitting people in the face, though.
I don't even like that.
I love that.
See, I seem aggressive, but like I've hit people really well and like when I've just been sparring, and then I like my instinct is like, are you okay? I don't want to hurt you too. Like I don't have that fighter instinct.
No. That's different. I'm talking about someone who's like aggressive towards you and needs to get knocked the fuck out.
Oh yeah, sure.
Someone who's
sure
coming after you. You already said you don't want any fucking trouble, but they're still right coming after you.
Does this happen often?
Yeah, and hitting them is great.
Sure.
That fucking feel when you fucking already told someone, hey man, I don't want any problems.
Yeah.
So please, let's not do this.
Right.
And then they come at you and you give them the fuck, fuck, and you can hear their fucking jaw go.
Right.
Oh, that's my favorite, bro.
I have not.
If you hit them right here, that's all you need.
I have not been in that scenario.
Right in the jaw.
But see, to me, what would be even more fun is they don't know you're going to do anything. Like a month goes by. And then you follow them when they're like leaving work or some shit, and you steal their car. Like you roll up, mask on, gun out. You make them think it's a fucking carjacking, steal their car, take that shit off, right? Then you really fuck their life up.
What would you do with the car?
Take it to a chop shop.
Wow, you're a psychopath.
Yeah, dude. I'm not going to put myself in a scenario where you can sue me. I'm not going to hit you in front of witnesses.
You just put yourself in a lot of scenarios where you can get sued, bro.
I'm going to wait.
You would have to have everything pan out perfectly for you to not get sued.
I'm going
to
wait until enough time has passed that you forgot about me, but I didn't forget about you, and I'm going to make life way more difficult.
You think you're in the fucking TV show Animal Kingdom, bro.
Well,
where they can just
love that show. That's
where they can
show
just do a heist and like,
I know that's a good show
and like so easily. And
I've never done this, by the way. I'm not an idiot. Like, I've got a kid now. I'm not going to do that shit. Are you kidding me? Yeah. But it's nice to think about.
Well, we got lost down the fucking trail path of.
I do have to go in like 20 minutes.
No, I know. I'm paying attention.
Okay.
Of threesomes and shit, but
yeah, I know.
Before that, we were talking about benchmarks and winning.
Mm-hmm.
Like the whole winning.
Owning a house, that would be like owning a nice house would be a
benchmark.
Owning
a house for me, album. I want to cut my album within the next year.
You could do that now.
Huh?
Like you could put an album out now, dude.
No, dude. I gotta dust the rust off.
Okay.
I gotta get back on the road like I was doing before the pandemic.
Right. Man. I guess what I'm saying is album stuff, like there's no gatekeepers for that anymore. If once you feel like you're ready, you can put it out. You can self distribute. I feel like that's better.
I'm still thinking about that strategy too, man.
Why not?
You know? Yeah. There's a lot to do though, bro. There's just so much to fucking.
No. I know. I guess you what know? I'm saying is like, that's different than the only hurdle to the benchmark is until you feel ready. There isn't like an outside force that you have to win over to make that happen.
No, I get that.
Yeah.
I mean, the game has changed, so mm-hmm. we can definitely be doing anything,
right?
And go any route. I just don't know. To me, it's just I've been recording all of my shows. I've been doing professional audio. Setups
mm-hmm.
for my so that when I post videos I have good audio, so now I'm getting a good idea of
I remember to, this yeah when I saw you last you had a fucking lav mic on you had dude I was impressed at your setup dude you, like you brought to a backyard show like
yeah,
a legit
right.
camera
yeah.
with a lav mic you're yeah. like yeah I dig it
yeah so I'm trying to do that and I'm doing that more every show so then that way I can like really understand what it's like to record a show. Because I think that I can just do it myself when it comes to audio.
You can.
You know?
Yeah, for sure.
Even with the video, too.
That's the thing where the world's at
if
now.
You just hire three yeah. camera guys.
You don't even need to hire someone. You could just set them up on tripods.
You could put them on sticks and then
yeah.
shoot them 4K and then edit it in 10K. And then you'll have enough like 4x zoom to like move in and out and even make it look like it's handheld and all kinds of fucking shit.
See, I don't even know what 10K is. I only knew about 6K. There's 10K?
Not 10K, I mean 1080p.
Oh, there you go.
1080p.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sorry,
that makes more sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, shoot it in 4K, and then when you zoom in 1080p, it still looks great.
Exactly.
That makes more sense.
So yeah, then yeah, you yeah. can actually like make it look like and simulate
this
you got
inside baseball
cameras.
For, you know.
Yeah.
Are you a baseball guy? You got the Detroit hat on, so.
I just represent Detroit.
Yeah, I get it.
I can't do sports no more.
None?
I can't.
Why?
I don't have the patience for it. I don't
even like football or something. Like that's not a like that's a fast moving game.
I just don't care about sports.
I mean, I'm the same way, honestly. And it's funny because like you might relate to this. A lot of dudes, the number of grown men I have disappointed by not.
I'm the same way.
Yeah, like there's so many times where I've met someone's like husband or boyfriend or friend.
They
or
just
whatever.
Assume you know everything about sports.
And because I look, we both are very masculine presenting guys, right? A lot of testosterone. Like, oh, you must, right? And I'm from Boston. Comedically, I'm a Boston guy. I didn't grow up there, but they're my comedy roots. So they always want to talk about the Patriots or the Sox or Tom Brady, whatever. And I just like don't give a shit. And they're so disappointed. They're like it's like telling little kid Santa's not real.
Exactly. I gotta like do a bit about that. So I've been thinking about.
I've been
that.
Trying.
I've been putting it on the back burner, but that's exactly what it is.
And then
I disappoint motherfuckers.
You know what the funny?
Sometimes I don't want to disappoint them. I go, oh yeah, and I just agree with everything they say.
And I've had dudes that like crazy, I can see in their eye they like lose a little respect for me. They're like, you don't care about sports.
One guy and I met him it was in Cancun,
yeah,
or Cabo,
okay,
years ago, bro,
yeah.
And he just walked up, started talk, tried to talk sports. Looked at him, and I was like, man, I don't talk sports. And he goes, why am I here?
Ah!
He walked away. He just walked away.
I'll tell you this: a lot of dudes I know who are very interesting do like sports, but a ton of dudes I know who are fucking hyper boring, all they care about is sports. Like that's their only thing they can talk about.
I can't do it, man. I just can't put my heart into something like that, man, that doesn't really matter.
But
it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Well, it does to those people.
To a point where it's like psychotic.
But I'm saying does stand up matter? It matters to us.
Yeah, but you're not gonna see me crying in the middle of a fucking field over that, okay. Something I can't control.
Right, that I get. People crying about their team losing is weird to
dude,
me.
I was,
but also, people crying in church or synagogue or mosque is weird to me, too.
My sister's husband's... my sister's husband's sister's husband. We were watching a fucking game. Thanksgiving or whatever. I think it was Michigan State versus whatever. And his Michigan team, like... whatever, and I wasn't even paying attention to the game. He ran outside, out in the backyard. You could see him, on the fucking ground, and just started screaming into the sky. He looked like Willem Dafoe in fucking Platoon when he was getting all fucking shot up and shit.
Yeah. But
and I was like, "What happened?" And he's like, "Oh, his team lost the game." And I'm like, "That's why I don't watch sports."
But here's the difference, I think, for you and me, is that we are dudes who are comedians, producers. We do a lot of things in the creative space. We have very lofty, difficult goals that we are working towards. I think a lot of these folks, they just do their job, they're with their family, and that's it. And that's cool, man. I get it for a lot of folks. But like that, there's no like dream for them they're chasing. The dream is to watch their team get a championship.
That's interesting.
That's my read on a lot of it. Because a lot of the guys...
I still there's people out there that still are like hardcore fans like that, that still chase lofty things like we do, and they're still hardcore.
I agree with you, but I'm specifically speaking to the type of person. I just know a lot of dudes I grew up with that like they're successful in their careers, but their jobs are boring. Like they work in finance or something, or some of them are even like lawyers and stuff, but they don't have like cool jobs. Like I can even see for them, they don't think it's that cool. They're just like, yeah, it's a good life.
Yeah.
I have a nice house. I have a family.
Right.
And like the thing that they can like dream about, like to me, you know what I dream about?
Hmm.
My wife's a comic too. The two of us getting the tour, selling out arenas, the two of us, and having this like incredible like travel show that we do, giving our kids like a really unique like homegrown education. We're like, yeah, traditional school's fine, but we could like education is so vast and versatile. Like I want to be able to like have the resources to like teach them the way I want to teach them and do my art for the world and shoot TV shows and do like that to me is like my fantasy. I don't give a fuck about, you know, whoever winning a championship.
Amen. I'm sorry, bro.
And if that's for you, fine. But no, I don't care.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No.
Watching, and that's not for me, man.
I mean, better that than like the Real Housewife shit.
Bro, when I was in the Marines, I broke 2 TVs in one day over sports.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
So you used to be into sports?
Yeah, when I was younger.
What changed for you?
Those 2 TVs I broke.
Because I was never into sports.
Those two TVs I broke, I was like, yeah. I mean, I was into it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. And then, that was like very young age. I was like, oh, I can't do it. Because I have good sportsmanship if I'm losing to you personally.
Yeah.
Like if we're playing a game.
Right.
And I lose.
Yeah.
Dude, you're not going to get nothing but respect from me.
Sure.
That's all you're going to get.
Yeah, it's
I'm still going to be disappointed.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be like, hey, man, good fucking game, bro.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm going to commend you on what you did right and all that fucking shit. Because that's that's what you do.
Of course.
But when it's on the other side of a TV screen, bro, it's just like, it, you know what it's just like? It's like you know how we are with each other on Facebook?
Of course. I was just thinking that. I was just thinking that, Mike. You're so right, dude.
I cannot stand that my goddamn competitive spirit is in the hands of some fucking millionaire.
And that's how...
And now he gets paid to fucking play? Fuck you and this TV, bro.
That's so funny.
So I can't do it.
Yeah.
I just can't.
Good for you.
But if we go out there and play the game... Mm-hmm. Which I suck at sports anyway, so I don't play sports.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
So, you know, so yeah.
Do people think you're good at sports? Because I'm pretty...
Yes.
Because
everyone thinks I'm good at sports.
I'm the same way, because I, especially like, I'm a little bit more comfortable now. You know, I've been eating a little more dad-like.
Yeah.
Especially like...
You're husky.
2018, yeah, 2018 me, I was shredded, bro. You know what I'm saying? People thought I was an athlete. I'm like, I work out a lot.
That's what I was saying,
man. I like to box for fun, but I'm not an...
I see you be doing fucking sets, and I'm like, this motherfucker just like... Eat a sandwich, bro. Like, fucking, like, you were just, like, fucking at the jawline.
It's
and
a
shit,
lot to
bro.
Maintain, man. I'm working on getting back there, but it's hard, man. It's a lot to maintain.
Is it really hard?
It was just, it's not hard in terms of, like, it's, like, I knew exactly what to do. It wasn't like, how do I figure this out? It was just, like, annoying to, you know, minimize my carbs all the time, minimize my sugar, minimize my weed, minimize my booze.
You don't have to minimize, honestly, in the end, you don't really have to minimize sugar and carbs. It's just minimize calories overall.
Okay, but so that...
Expend more calories than you take in.
But I had to constantly think about it, and I would constantly push off, like, my first meal of the day. We talk about intermittent fasting.
Yeah, that's what I do.
And I would always be delaying it. And I was just... And another thing that was a huge factor, I had a job at the time, a day job, where I was giving tours around LA on a bicycle. So I was riding a bike all the time.
That's great.
So I was getting tons of workouts the bike, and I was training in Krav Maga pretty much every day. So
I remember seeing you doing one of those tours.
Yeah, maybe.
I ran into you in public. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah. So I was doing both of those things. Plus, I was really strict on my diet because I was like, when I turned 30, I was like, I want to see if I can do this.
You know what changed it for me, bro? Hmm. Not being strict on my diet.
Really?
Yeah.
See, for me, the diet thing is like...
Not being strict on my diet is what keeps me from getting fat. It's just I just shorten the window that I can eat in a day.
See, I've done that, but it's hard for me
to
focus on
that.
But I can gain and drop super fast.
Let's do a trash bars before you leave, bro.
Okay, all right.
Because I want to give you a beat and I want you to rap.
Oh shit! Oh god! Okay,
come on, bro.
All right.
Let's fucking do this.
Do my best.
Because I know you gotta get going. I'll just try to drop.
Wait,
a beat.
What should I rap about? You do this with every guest.
Rachel said, Mike, I have so many follow-up questions about your life now.
Dude, she would be a great guest. You should have her come on.
I should probably have her on, definitely. Rachel, I'll probably have you on soon for sure. Hey, guys, make sure that you're watching this. Fucking give me a thumbs up, man. Hit that fucking like button, man. I never tell people to do that. Hit a fucking thumbs up and shit. Somebody keeps coming in here and gives me a thumbs down, but, you know, it's not to say that maybe they did. Maybe I deserve it, but I'm just saying.
Dude, I'm so out of practice with freestyling. God damn it. All right.
I fucking suck, bro. I can't even beatbox. Your fucking beat, bro, was too fucking... It was out of control. All
right.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
No, Siri, shut the fuck up. Okay, here we go. Boom. Push. Push. Boom. Push. Boom. Push. Push. Boom. Push. Push. Boom. Push. Push. Boom. Push. Boom. Push. Push. Boom. Push. Push. Boom. Push. Push. Boom. Push. Boom. Push.
Okay. Ready? Okay. Yeah. Yo, live streaming with Mike from Detroit. Yo, coming on, gonna live stream with your boy. Yeah, he is former Marine and he doesn't like to be in the sports team or the scene. Oh, that was so fast, dude.
So 15 seconds.
Oh, wow.
Let's do it again. Let's do it again. I'll give you another one.
Okay.
That's why, because when the beat hits, you gotta like...
It takes a second to like get in the flow, yeah.
I think I can go longer than because I think I have
put
it...
Put on your intro music.
I have it behind.
Or is that not how you do it?
I mean, I could.
I don't want to throw up your. This is like your thing for the show. I don't want to mess it up.
Oh, somebody says they can't hear the playback beats. Fuck. Hold on a second.
Oh, but you know why? Because it's on the live stream only.
No. It's supposed to be able to play.
Is the audio feed? No. Well, anyway.
Hold on. Oh, fuck. God damn it. There's a technical difficulty. This app, sometimes I have to fucking restart it. In it for it to actually do that goddamn, fuck man. That's the only problem with this app is that it will not play the system audio. Not, the only way I can do it now is I would have to restart the fucking system.
Do you know Glenn Bolton? He's a comic. He's also a musician. He makes very sick beats.
Oh, does he?
Yeah. His rap name is G-Rilla.
Hold on a second here. Well, there goes the technical difficulty. I'm so fucking mad that they couldn't hear the beat. So then before we were like rapping over a beat that no one could fucking hear.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Man, fuck this app. Guys, technical difficulties. I told you that's tradition. Fuck, I'm so mad, dude. I really wanted to like close out on that.
Sorry, dude. Well, I can. We can next time put a beat on, like an actual beat, and rap over it.
This guy's saying you'll use OBS for the stream.
That's what I use.
But I mean, like, it's just you got to get a bunch of other shit for it, though.
Mike, I'll walk you through it. It's not that bad. You can have most of what you need.
So you're saying it's better than this Ecamm, because Ecamm is on point, man.
Ecamm.
I'm just having this one thing where I probably should just restart it before I fucking started this thing.
No, Ecamm is great. I know people who'd use Ecamm. I think Ecamm is more designed for people. Like if I was at home and we were live streaming each at home with our setup, I think OBS is more designed for like live streaming from a studio space like what you have here. Like people in the same room together.
Well, then we'll talk about it, bro.
Yeah.
Anyways, guys, follow Alex. Alex, you want to give him your shit?
At Alex Getlin, GETTLIN, on all social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all that stuff. I've got a couple podcasts. Common Ground Morning Show. It's live every Monday morning with my wife, Rachel LaForce. Very funny comedian. Kind of like what we do here, but we talk about the news, current events, etc. I've got my digital series, Highly Unlikely. You can look it up on all the podcast platforms. Also on YouTube. That show is where I bring on a comedian. I get them super high, and then I teach them about a crazy subject, something like the Secret Service, Ancient Egypt. It's really fun. And, you know, I do shows around LA. Follow me for all that stuff.
Yeah. Keep it going for Alex. Guys, you know where to follow me. Mike from Detroit and everything. And, you can't see the screen, can you?
Mm-mm.
There's nothing there?
No, it just shows me like the display thing, but I can't see what's going on. It was just fun, dude. I appreciate you having me on.
Dude, I appreciate you being on.
Well, every time I see you at a show, we just chop it up. Like
that's the thing, man. So whenever I talk to you, that's what I was just saying. It's really easy to talk to you and shit.
Thanks, dude. Well, anytime you want to have me back, I'd love to come back. I have a solo podcast on hiatus. I'm going to bring it back, and I'll have you on as a guest. It's just with the baby and all my other stuff, I kind of put it on the back burner. But similar to this, we just kind of talk about whatever.
Right.
So.
But this is the video that you
play that.
To fucking watch. You can see it, right? You can't?
No. It's okay. I know the video. I can hear it. Can you imagine, dude? Imagine being either the Amtrak guy or that truck driver. I mean, holy fuck.
Bro, I have a whole bunch of them. I ended up like finding a whole bunch of... I found one where this, like, dude, I wish you could see this. Like, the guy gets out of the truck just before the fucking thing comes.
Dude, I saw one where a donkey gets hit by a train and it literally explodes.
Really?
I'll find it and send it to you, yeah.
I want
to
see that.
Yeah.
Man, I wish you could see this. The guy literally is like, should I get out? And the people are like, get the fuck off the damn thing. And he just runs. Can you not stop these trains?
No, you can't.
Oh my gosh, there it is.
If there's not enough time, they can't. It's actually...
Pendleton, oh my goodness.
I've read about this. If there's like certain wind distance, they have to just keep going full speed, or it's worse if they slow down.
Hear this kid.
But anyway, I got to bounce in like a minute.
Oh my god!
And now that's my new sound effect for the podcast. I have that actually queued up for next time.
That's funny.
So anyways, guys, give it up for Alex. He is the fucking man. Follow him.
Thanks, dude. Thanks for, hey, give it for Mike, dude. You have a great operation here.
All
right,
this is
episode 20, right?
20.
It's an honor to be at episode
20. Actually, that's like 20, and then I also have 20 solo podcasts, so it's like pretty much 40.
Okay. Yeah. So hell yeah, but the 20th guest.
Right on, man.
I love it.
All right, Alex. Thank you so much, bro.
Thank you, dude.
I'll see you guys. Deuces!
Public Yemeni number one.